God has taken Max and Sherry Griner on an incredible spiritual journey, resulting in literally hundreds of authentic, documented miracles. The Griners' continuing spiritual pilgrimage, which began in September of 1976, has been the subject of newspaper, magazine, book, radio, television, and internet coverage around the world. In 1989, the artist began receiving invitations to share his remarkable testimonies at meetings, churches, universities, and seminaries across America. Often, when Max would share his usual stories, the Holy Spirit would work more miracles as he testified about Jesus and prayed publicly. These classic messages describe timeless spiritual truths, which Max illustrates with actual contemporary miracles. In many cases, these miracles have been documented and witnessed by hundreds of people who were present at the time. If you have ever wondered if God still supernaturally intervenes in today's world, or you need your own miracle, or you desire a richer walk with God, the Griner's testimony will bless you. Max's powerful testimony and his internationally collected Christian artwork are well known. For more information on his art or other inspiring messages from the Kerrville, Texas artist, please visit his website at www.maxgrinerart.com. That's www.maxgrinerart.com. We believe God will touch you as you hear this testimony. We pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that the following true testimony will be used by God to bless you more than you can imagine. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. The last time I spoke here was in February 24th, 1991, which was a year and a half after Sherry and I had prayed for a second experience we've come to learn has a name called the Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Since that time, we have become, I guess, some living witnesses to the truth and the power of our God. But I want to share some of the results of this baptism, this empowerment. You know, there's been a new boldness that's come over the entire family and a hunger for the things of God, and I can't even believe it myself when I look back. And I've been saved since I was seven, but just the changes in my priorities, I can't comprehend the changes that God has worked in my life. We have seen all kinds of divine intervention. We have seen real biblical type miracles. I don't know how else to explain it or to say it except it's the power of God that's been manifested. We have seen it in salvation and in baptisms and healing and in provision, deliverance, and even prophecy, and all those gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been getting a taste of what God meant by those scriptures. Just as a little quick example, in February of 94, I attended two back-to-back wildlife sportsman hunting shows in San Antonio where I displayed my wildlife art, and I did have some of my Christian work there. But over that seven-day period of time, God just sent in people about every 20 minutes, and he set it up, and I didn't force anything. But by the time the shows were over, three people had been saved, 20 had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, three got healed, two got delivered, and there was one pretty dramatic provision miracle. And this was a secular show, I keep a prayer journal, and it was almost getting to be comical, where God would send somebody in, they would say something, I would know it was of Him, there was something to do, I'd just do the natural thing that He led me to do, and pretty soon we were praying. And I'd barely have time to write it down in my prayer journal, and I'd sit back, and I can remember one time saying, God, can you give me another 5 minutes so I can just get a Coke or something, you know? And I mean, it was just steady. But we have seen physical healings, some very dramatic, some have taken place over time. We have seen, as amazing as it sounds saying it, but we have seen, for example, up in Washington, D.C., a man that had lost the sight in one eye. We prayed Three times, God gave him his eyesight back right there in the booth. Somebody here in Kerrville, we were praying for their heart, and God straightened their crossed eyes in about 20 seconds. We prayed with, as some of you know, a lady and a stranger in San Antonio that was crippled. God healed her, took away all the pain, healed the bones, they moved. She threw down her crutches and she walked in front of 200 witnesses. Prayed for a deaf man in the Los Angeles airport, stranger that was coming up asking for money after I asked God to confirm to me that I was supposed to pray for him. And it looked like to me and all the other witnesses in the room that he got his hearing back. And so it's been those kind of rather dramatic things. I mean, there's been a lady that God healed of cancer over at the, when we were at the YO hotel, and a total stranger at a wildlife show walks up and said, God told me to come over here and ask you for a prayer. And Sherry and I were stunned, and we said the prayer, and sure enough, the cancer disappeared. She went into MD Anderson Hospital the next day, and it was gone. I mean, it's been stuff that's really messed up a lot of our good old theology that we had. But, you know, since this year's time that we've been here and been blessed by the teaching here, you know, we've learned that it is in the book, and we went back and reread the New Testament, and sure enough, as Robbie said, these are supernatural things to us, but they're natural activities, you know, of the Lord. And so we've had just an amazing increase in the chances to share testimony and to witness. You know, it's kind of funny. About a year ago, I was wondering, and I was asking the Lord, I was really puzzled about, now God, you've made me an artist, and I'm an artist, and I've done this work with Jesus and Peter and the Christian Butterfly, and Lord, we make a living from this stuff, but I'm getting all these invitations to speak at churches and seminaries and places. How do I, you know, mix the two, my livelihood with the ministry? And it's really a delicate area, and it was at that time as I had that question, and I was really literally asking God, how do I do this, Lord? I want to be a faithful servant. And Dr. Wayne Rux, who I don't know if he's here this morning, but he gave me a tape, and on that testimony tape from another Christian, I just was running down the road, and it spoke really to me, and as it did, I just felt like God spoke through that, and he said, and again, when I say he said, it's like a thought, it's knowledge, it comes into your mind, and you instantly know it. I don't hear a loudspeaker, I don't hear, thus saith the Lord. But this thought that came into my mind was not my own said, you just talk about me, I'll take care of your business publicity. And I really received it. And it was really, I think, a warning related to my own ego and to my own pride and greed. And God has led us into some pretty powerful things. And it's an area that we have to be very cautious in. And God just was letting me know that that he was going to take care of the family, that I didn't have to worry about going in there and trying to sell people my stuff. So we have been going around the country, and we've been witnessing, and I just really try to talk about him and what he's been doing in our lives. You know, we've had the chance to speak at churches of all denominations now, conferences, revivals, meetings, universities like Dallas Baptist University, and then God's given me the opportunity and the privilege to share twice now at Dallas Theological Seminary. I was able to speak at commencement services as one of the speakers this last April, and God opened an incredible door there to share, and was even able to share personally with the chairman of the board of the seminary. And so these are doors that God's opened. I cannot open them, but he sets up divine appointments with total strangers. He sets it up. I don't try to go grab people. It's really amazing how he will have somebody's heart prepared, and he will send them. And they may be everyday people with everyday kind of jobs, but there's also been some key leaders and pastors and evangelists and deans and seminary professors and missionaries. And it's like, you know, if you just be willing to be used, then the Lord will create those divine appointments for you. I'm sharing really today because I want to challenge you. I want to challenge even myself. And probably by this point in time, some of you think that I'm a nut. Or if you have not thought that, you probably are saying, well, that happened to him, but that's not going to happen to me. God's not going to use me that way. God's not going to work those kind of miracles in my presence. And thankfully, some of you sitting here, no, he does, and he does use any willing vessel. God wants to use each one of us more than we can imagine. You know, no, he's not going to use you exactly like he uses me. I mean, he is an infinitely creative God. He's got a plan that he, a unique way he wants to use each one of us. But I am convinced that we limit God a lot more than God limits us. But I just want to encourage each one of you that any of the gifts can manifest through any believer. So don't limit yourself and say, no, God doesn't do that through me. He does that through him, or he does that through her. Just say, whatever you want to do through me, God, I'd like to do it. And just as a quick little test to maybe run through this, and I don't say this for condemnation, but really to exhort you to move as God would direct, how many people of you told somebody about Jesus this week? How many of you led somebody to Christ? Did somebody receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you explained it to them? Have you prayed for somebody for healing this week? Did you anoint them with oil? Did you pray for somebody for emotional healing this week? Did you pray for somebody's provision, their finances, their home? Have you prayed for marriages? Did you cast out some demons this week? Have you used your prayer language that God's given you? Have you spoken a word of prophecy that you believe God gave you for somebody? Have you obeyed him there? You know, have you been listening for God this past week to speak to you in your life? I mean, have you been expecting those divine appointments? You know, did you pray this week that God would use you to bless other people? The point is, you know, these things have happened to us, and it's exciting, but I think one of the reasons God has let those things happen is we're supposed to share it with others so they can have some of the same similar kind of experiences of seeing God move in their life. And it's just changed our life totally. You know, you have to be willing to fail. You know, you have to be willing to be embarrassed. You have to be willing to be wrong. You know, what kind of faith is it that says to God, God, I'll pray for this person if you guarantee me they get healed? Or God, I'll witness to this person if you guarantee me that they're going to get saved. You know, otherwise, I don't want to be embarrassed. You know, who are we focused on here? You know, could that be our pride? You know, we really have to put our pride and our reputation aside. And we just have to be obedient and to pray. And you have to be persistent, even if you don't get results. And many times we don't get results that we see. I mean, we pray a lot of prayers that don't get answered. But God is sovereign, and we just have to trust him. You know, not every desire of our heart, it seems like, for somebody else at that moment gets answered. And I certainly don't have all the answers. But I do know that God is good, and the devil is evil, and that Jesus has said the devil came to destroy and to murder, and that God considers us his kids and wants us to get up on his lap. I know that, you know, right here in this room, there are many of you that I've prayed with, and some of you have received the miracle that we asked for, and others have not. You know, I don't have all the answers, but what's a testimony to me is that the ones that receive the miracle have a testimony for God, but also the ones that didn't get the miracle still love God and still have a testimony for God. And so I see the reality of God both when the miracle comes and when it doesn't come. But we don't want to miss out on the opportunity to ask the Lord, because he said we could, to ask for that miracle. And there's a teaching going around Christianity right now that many of you, I'm sure, have heard, that in a nutshell it says, don't ask God for a miracle, because if you don't get it, you might lose faith or get mad at God and be angry and discouraged and depressed. So it's really better never to ask than it is to ask. Now, it maybe hasn't been put in quite those words, but you boil it down, that's really what it's saying. It's just saying live with the problems you have and suffer through it, and it's all going to be great when we get to heaven. But the truth of the matter, I think it was the enemy that started this rumor, because, you know, that's not what Jesus said. He said, we are the kids, we can ask anything, but we have to trust him with the results. And, you know, we just need to keep seeking Jesus, and we shouldn't make the mistake of not asking, because he tells us to ask. You know, and this thing that you say, you hear people say, well, they didn't have enough faith to be healed. You know, from my understanding, if you've got enough faith to ask God or a believer to help you with a problem, you've got enough faith to be healed, because the truth is God gives the faith anyways. And if you say, God, help my unbelief, then he comes in and gives you the faith that it's needed to, required to do what he wants to do. Just a mustard seed is all that he said is required. You know, certainly there is sin in life and unforgiveness and things like that that God wants to have dealt with in our life. But again, that can be dealt with by just saying, God, show me what you want to deal with in my life, and he'll show it to you, his Holy Spirit will. And then you just say, I'm sorry, God, please forgive me. You know, take care of this. I want to be new. And he will do that. So even those scriptural things can be removed that would be hindrances to receiving the miracle that you need. So, you know, the bottom line is give God the glory no matter what happens. And we have found that there is a direct correlation between witnessing and miracles. It seems like the more that we witness and share what God has done, the more he does. And we've got it chronicled now, and it's a fact that it just we just tell the stories that happened last week, and God does more this week. And so I would like to share just a couple of detailed accounts of some of the miracles that God has worked in the time that I have left, related to some small miracles. Often we hear Christians make light of somebody when they said that they've had a little small miracle, or they've maybe heard the Lord on something. And but you know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, you know, is a helper, a paraclete. He comes alongside, and really, what I think happens is that he can use those small miracles in our life to build faith. And when you're going in a moment by moment walk, you can see those kind of things. And it's almost like, you know, I realize he's sitting right next to me all day long. And so, for example, when I need a small thing and I can't do it on my own or can't find it or work it out, I just ask the Lord. And many times it happens right then that the prayer is answered. And just to give you a couple of little short, quick specifics, in July the 10th, 1993, we were in Atlanta at the Christian Booksellers Convention. I had a booth there. I was showing my art. I had a big overhead light that was supposed to be hooked up and shined on my sculpture, and they had to take an electrician to position it. The electrician wasn't there, and I had to leave, and I just bowed my head and said, God, would you please send the electrician? I lifted my head up, and up pulls this little cart with two electricians, and they said, we're here to adjust your light. And I said, you know, man, that's amazing. I just prayed for you just a second ago, and the guy said, oh, that must have been ESP. And I said, no, that was G-O-D. For March 13th, 1994, after we attended services here at Grace, we went down the hill to eat lunch, and we decided to stop at Hickory Hut Barbecue that's just right down the road. And it was, I think, about 12:40, and some of the speakers run on long hair, as y'all know, occasionally, and hope this is not one. But we pull in the driveway there. My daughter, Shay, is 9 years old. She says, Dad, aren't there supposed to be cars in the parking lot? I mean, doesn't he have to have a bunch of cars to make a living? And I said, well, that's right, Shay. And so I said, well, let's just pray right here in the car and ask God to send Craig Ramsey, the owner, a bunch of customers. So at 12:40, we prayed and asked God to send in a bunch of customers to Craig. Okay, in the next 5 minutes, 17 people came in. And we had told Craig that we had just prayed for him. And so he was quite amazed, as we were, when different people came pouring in the door. And as we left, Craig said, where are y'all eating next Sunday? And big and little things happen. And I don't discount the little things, because God can teach you and me a lot about his nature and his love in those little things. And you really miss out if you try to wait till the big day you need the big miracle, because you miss a lifetime of having that Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit, being there moment by moment. You know, in the area, we've seen, some pretty dramatic things, too. Not all of them are dramatic. Some of them have been instant. Some of them have not. But I'd like to share kind of an interesting one that relates to physical healing and a young man that I never met, I still have not met, named Logan that we prayed for. And in March the 11th, 1994, a friend from San Antonio called Paul Jenkins, and he just said that he had a friend who had a son who had a degenerative hip disease and a heart murmur, and that three doctors had said that and diagnosed him and said that his life was going to be very difficult because of this condition. And the father was studying to be, or I guess he was in seminary for a PhD, and from the Church of Christ. As some of you may know, they don't really believe God still works in miracles. But the friend, Paul Jenkins, did know that God worked miracles, so he called me up and he said, "Can we pray for my son's, or for my friend's son?" And I said, "Sure." And so we prayed over the telephone that God would heal this child. And then Paul asked me to write the father. So I wrote the father after we prayed, and I said, "Look, I know you don't believe God still heals today, but we do, and we know he does. And I just wanted you to know that your friend, Paul Jenkins, and I prayed for your child, and we asked that God heal him, you know, totally heal him." Well, on the 22nd of that month, Paul calls back and says, "The doctors have dramatically changed their prognosis. They can't find the heart problem anymore, and now they're saying the hip condition will slowly go away." Then on the, I guess it was April the 4th, Paul calls again and says, "The hole in the heart now has completely disappeared. The murmur's gone, and two doctors now think that the first team must have misdiagnosed the conditions, and in fact that the heart is now stronger than normal, and the new set of doctors says there's no defects at all." And then on April the 7th, Paul Jenkins calls back and says, "The child is completely well, the hip is corrected due to the unexplained above normal flow of blood from the bad heart." And so I got a letter from the pastor, for the father, and thanking me and Paul for the prayer. And I know God is working with him, and we sent him some of the testimony tapes. But, you know, God is real, and we've had the same, interesting things have happened in the area of emotional healing, too. On May the 3rd, 1993, I was asked to pray for a man that was in Sid Peterson's hospital here for physical healing. He was a young man and a total stranger and had a severe back injury that he had messed his back up on the job, construction job, and in just a real severe pain. A staff member from one of the churches had asked me to pray for this man. So we go over to the church, and or to the hospital, excuse me, to the hospital, and we pray for this young man. I think it was three times. And no improvement, and he was in just terrible pain. And we prayed in Jesus' name, and we said, you know, told the pain to leave and did everything I knew to do, and it wouldn't work. And I said, "Well, why don't we pray and ask the Holy Spirit why this isn't working?" And so they said, "Okay." So I just said, "The Holy Spirit, would you tell us, is there some reason why this young man is not getting healing?" We waited, and I didn't get anything in my mind. The staff member didn't get anything. The young man with the pain didn't get anything. But his wife spoke up and said, "This is strange, but the name David just came into my mind." And I said, "Well, who's David?" And she says, "Well, I don't know any Davids." And I said, "Oh, well, let's ask the Holy Spirit." I mean, it came in the middle of a prayer, which is called, again, a word of knowledge. When you study the scriptures, what that's called. But I said, "Let's just ask the Holy Spirit, who's David?" So we just said, "God, would you please tell us who David is?" And as soon as that I said that prayer, in my mind, God's, you know, in that still small voice said, "She's been sexually abused." I turned to her, and as I turned to her, tears were running down her face, and I said, "You've been sexually abused, haven't you?" And she says, "Yes, now I remember when I was 9 years old, and I've not remembered that, and now I remember." And I said, "Well, I think God wants to heal you." And I remember her saying, "But we're here for my husband." And I said, "I'm sorry, but God wants to apparently deal with this first." And we have to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so I basically led her through the forgiveness. And, of course, she at first could not forgive the person that had sinned against her. I said, let's ask the Holy Spirit for power. We did. He gave her the ability, and she was able to forgive this person that sinned against her. And so we prayed, and that was done. And I said, well, let's ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything else? And so we prayed again, said, Holy Spirit, is there anything else? And she went, oh, no, there are others. And so her father and some others had also abused her. And so we took them one by one, and she forgave each person with the power of God. And right there in that room, God healed her, you know, and I just prayed that God would cleanse her and heal her, and that she would feel the love of the Father. And just in those, you know, a few minutes of time, you know, God did what it sometimes takes psychiatrists and psychologists years to do. I mean, the Holy Spirit put his finger on the problem. You know, we left, and at that moment, the husband never got any relief, you know, when I left the hospital from his pain. I don't know. You know, I did hear later that some of the healing and the pain did go away, and I have not talked to him since then. But again, it was one of those cases when I thought I was going to pray for somebody to be physically healed, but God had another plan. And so we really need to be open to let God change our plan into what we think we're doing. You know, I don't have the time, and this is probably not the appropriate place to share in detail about a deliverance that I was recently involved in, but I just want to mention it to let those of you that don't quite believe that the enemy is real and he really has an effect on our lives, share to let you know that he is real, but also to let you know how powerful your God is. I was... In April 26th of 94, I was asked to go and pray for the pastors at a pastor's conference in College Station with 350 Methodist pastors, and Francis Frangipane and Dr. Peter Wagner were speaking there. But on that evening at 9:30 p.m., I had been asked by Dr. Tagle to pray for the pastors that were there, and the evening services were open to the public. And as I went around just praying for people as the Lord had me pray, I got to one young lady, and she was a senior at Texas A&M. Basically what happened is as I approached her, I sensed something was wrong, wasn't right. And I looked at her, and I said, what is it that you need from the Lord? And she, her teeth grimaced and clenched, and her face grimaced, and she said, I've got demons, and they tried to manifest today in classes at A&M. Well, again, God gave me another word at that moment, and he again spoke the knowledge into my mind that said she's been sexually abused. And so I looked at her in the eye and I said, you've been sexually abused, haven't you? And she twisted her head and said, yes. So I switched from prayer mode to attack mode, and I put my hand on her forehead and I said, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in Jesus' name. And this demon manifested right in front of 350 Methodist pastors. And he spoke back to me in that guttural voice and said, you can't have her. She's mine. I said, come out in Jesus' name. And it said, no, I'm not coming out. She's mine. And I said, no. And about that time, I was feeling five or six hands slap on my back where the other pastors were praying for me and with me. And I can remember it was kind of funny. Dr. Tagle said, hey, Max, do you have any experience with deliverance? And I said, well, Terry, I have a little bit, but I sure would appreciate some help. And, you know, and it's one of those deals, kind of like when you got a rattlesnake and you're holding him the way you're supposed to hold him, but you're really not quite sure how to let go of him. But anyways, it was rather intense, and for the next 3 hours, we were in an intense deliverance session, and some of the top people from six states joined me. And it was incredible, and I know it's almost surreal. As I was watching it with my eyes, I could not believe what I was hearing and what I was seeing. But just to let you know, the power of God, one lady walked in, total stranger from New Mexico, and immediately God started giving her words of knowledge about where this girl lived, how many sisters she had, the color of her sister's hair, about her mother's hair, and the details that were just, God, I just never seen the words come in such rapid succession that God was telling us about this young lady. And come to find out that her father had been and mother were involved in witchcraft or Satanism. We do not know, the girl did not know because she was so young, which it was, but that it was ritualistic abuse. And at one point, when this, a lot of the demons were coming out, but the one strong man, we just could not get it out. And at one point, one of the ladies to my right said, "We plead the blood of Jesus Christ." And we know we hear a lot about the blood and the power in the blood, but I'd never seen what it'd do to a manifesting demon. But when that lady said that, that thing just went wild, and it slapped its back, and it screamed, and it was like you poured hot oil all over it. I mean, I was just amazed at what I was seeing. You know, I was amazed at how you could, you know, bind the enemy. That you know, throughout this whole process, this girl would struggle. She never laid a hand on any of us. It was like this big invisible hand was squeezing her arms together. You know, I don't know if it was angels, I don't know if it was Holy Spirit, I don't know how he did it, but he did it, and he protected all of us. And you know, we left that night at 1 a.m., and there was still that one, you know, strong man demon that we could not get out, and I left there like the disciples coming back to Jesus saying, "Why could we not get this out, Lord?" All I could get in my mind was remembering that scripture when Jesus said, "This one comes out by prayer." And so I just decided here in college, you know, in Kerrville, I'd keep praying. And I told all those rest of the people to keep praying. And then at the Promise Keepers Conference up in Dallas a few weeks later, somebody from that young lady's church came up and said she's had dramatic improvement since that night. So, again, I don't know if she's been totally set free, but I know that some of the most difficult situations to deal with are those with witchcraft and Satanism. But the power of God is real. The enemy is real. But he has equipped us, you know, to deal with that if we have become his children and been saved, and if we have received his baptism of the Holy Spirit, his empowerment that he wants to give his kids to let us be his vessels. You know, in conclusion, I just want to, you know, encourage you to ask God for opportunities to serve him in the way he has for you to serve him. And it, you know, it may be working in the nursery sometime. It may be, you know, helping an elderly person. But it also may be praying for the sick. It also may be telling somebody for Jesus. So don't limit God and how he would choose to use you. I'm not the power source. I just want to point you to the power source. It's God. It's through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we are in the last days. It seems like that the evil is on the increase, but so is God's power and our ability to deal with that. I just would, you know, if you have not yet received Christ as Savior and you happen to be in this church, and I know most of you have, but you really need to do that. You need to do that before you leave here, because that enemy, he's coming against you whether you know it or not. I mean, you may not recognize it, but he's putting evil in your way and evil thoughts in your mind, and he's working against you. So you might as well be equipped and get the armor that God wants to give you through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, the song says, run to the battle. And I think that's really where we're supposed to be now. God just doesn't want us sitting in the pews studying our book. We're in a war, and he wants us to run to the battle. And so I'd like to just close with a prayer. You know, there's a lot of you right now that have needs in this congregation at this very moment. There's physical needs, there's emotional needs, there's financial needs, there's relationship needs, there's some marriages that may be right on the rocks right this minute. God, you know, wants to help you in all those areas. And so I would just like to pray, but what I would like to do is take care of a couple of the scriptural things that sometimes keep us from receiving the miracle that we want. And I'm just going to ask his Holy Spirit to put into your minds, you know, what it is that he wants to deal with in your life. If there's some unforgiveness towards somebody living or dead, if you've been involved in some occult organization that you not ask God to forgive you, you know, for that involvement. If there's some major sin that you have not repented of and confessed to the Lord. Because if we'll deal with those things first, that often clears the way for the miracle that God wants to give. So I'm just going to pray, and I want to ask him to place those things in your mind, if there are there. They may not be, and I'm not trying to put any there. But I just know that sometimes there's a priority of what God wants to deal with. And we can try to pray for the sick or salvation or all these things and miracles, and if we don't deal with the things the way God wants us to deal with them, we will not see what we're asking for. Father, I thank you for the opportunity today to be a witness. I thank you for this church and for their openness and willingness to let your Spirit move as you choose. And Lord God, we have some miracles that we need right here in this congregation. And Lord, I thank you, though right at this moment, for all the miracles you've already done in this congregation. Lord, I see faces out here, and I know many of them have received their miracles, and we thank you for that, Lord. And God, I would pray that right now, that if there are things that you want to deal with in each person's life, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would place that name, that person, that action in their mind at this moment, Father, so that that they would know that's what you want to deal with. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, just as I pray, if you would, just ask God for that miracle that you need, but ask ask for his forgiveness, and if there's some bitterness to somebody, just in your heart silently say, I forgive you, whoever you are, just put their name in there, and just whatever, God, the Holy Spirit tells you to do now, just obey his Spirit, would you please? Father, I just ask now that all those that are placing names, or that you're placing names in their minds, or situations, that you would just, at this very moment, you would hear their prayers, you would forgive them, and that you would bless them, that you would meet the needs, that you would pour out your physical healing, that you would pour out your emotional healing, that you would meet the financial needs, Lord, that need to be met here, Lord, and the relationship needs. And I just pray, Lord, that you would be glorified and that they would give you the glory and that be your witnesses wherever they go. And I just, God, thank you right now in advance for what you do before we see any evidence of it. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. This week, you may have even sensed at this moment God did something. Sometimes he does it instantly. Sometimes he takes time. And that's what he did with a lot of our situations. But this week, for whatever you lifted up to the Lord, be watching and see if he answers that prayer. And if he does, would you tell somebody and let them know that Jesus answered that prayer for you? And if you have not got your miracle yet, keep knocking. Jesus said we could. Don't give up. Be encouraged, but trust the Lord. Okay? Thank you so much for the privilege to be here this morning.
I gave the message that you just heard on September the 4th, 1994, at Grace Bible Chapel in Kerrville, Texas. The next message that you're about to hear was given at the Central Assembly Church in Springfield, Missouri, on Sunday, September the 21st, 1997.
Glory to God. We have a special guest with us tonight that I want you to understand the power of these divine appointments that we talk about. Everybody, are you aware of the divine appointments that I'm talking about? Huh? I mean, it's exciting to give your life to Jesus where he uses you in special ways. Ways not known to you, but he uses you. This past week, we had a glorious week seeing the opening of AGTS. Amen? Those of you that were there know that was absolutely fantastic. And at AGTS, they have a bronze, well, maybe several. And Max Griner is the creator of those special works of art. Now, I had a divine appointment with this wonderful man at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And down here on the communion table is a powerful bronze of the world resting upon the Word of God. And I'm going to ask Max to come to tell you the rest of the story about it.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here at Central Assembly of God. Probably I need to take a few moments just to give you a little background so you can appreciate this story. I love to tell God stories, and this is a good one. I am a fourth generation Southern Baptist. I was saved when I was 7. However, we prayed this prayer with an Episcopalian guy for this experience that we Baptists don't have a name for, that you call the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Glory to God.
And this was in July of 89, and life hadn't been the same since. And these gifts started manifesting, and miracles started happening, and quite a few dramatic healings. A lot of it witnessed by lots of people, mainly evangelical, non-charismatic people. Quite a few different kinds of miracles. And so we have, when somebody asks me what kind of Baptist I am, I just tell them I'm a tampered with Baptist. And I think y'all may call it a Babticostal or a Pentabaptist. Whatever it is, I don't care what people call me, but it's been fun following the Lord. So that's kind of my background, but my testimony takes about 25 hours, but I don't think I have that long tonight. So I'm just going to relate to the specific divine appointment that God set up between me and your pastor. Here a few years ago, I learned that God can commission me to do my artwork. I don't just have to work up the ideas myself. And the divine servant, which was dedicated over at the seminary, came through a divine commission by the Lord. Literally, he spoke into my mind and repeatedly spoke because I disobeyed, and I finally did obey. But I had learned from that experience that God can specifically commission us to do something. And so that work was, I believe, commissioned by our Father. And after that came another design, the Christian butterfly, the fish with butterfly wings. And that, too, came in a supernatural way that I knew it was God that gave me the idea. And then in 1994 came the Fisher of Men, Christ holding the fishing nets, and that came in a supernatural way. So I was kind of spoiled, and I was wondering what my next project might be. And a man, my fourth divine commission, and it was that fourth divine commission that God selected your pastor to use in a supernatural way to let me know what my next commission was. The commission really kind of began in January 15th, 1996, when James Johnson, who was the vice president of Premier Designs in Dallas, Texas, called me up long distance on the phone, and he's one of my art collectors, and he said, "Max, I want to pay you, was quite a bit of money to do a bronze of the earth, of a globe." And I heard that, and that didn't sound very exciting to me or very creative. And I tried to explain to him that I really was only seeking commissions now from God and not from men. And he said, "Well, I really want you to do it." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry." And I tried to talk him out of it. And I said, "Let me give you some names of some other artists, and you probably can find a bronze globe." And he said, "No, I really feel like God wants you to do it." And I said, "All right, well, why don't we pray?" We're both Christians. So I prayed over the telephone with him, and I said, "Lord, do you want me to do this sculpture of the earth for this gentleman?" And right in the middle of that prayer, God dropped this thought into my mind, and he said, "Do the earth on the Word of God." So I said to James Johnson, I said, "Would you be interested in the globe on the Word of God?" And he said, "Yeah, that sounds interesting. That sounds good. Send me some drawings." So I hung up the phone, and I immediately said to God, "Now, God, was that me just wanting that money, or was that really you?" And he didn't say anything else. You know, I just I was in a little bit of a turmoil there, and I said, "Now, Lord, you know, we need the money. We buy food with money like everybody else does, and that's how I make my living, is from my art. But I didn't want to do anything he didn't want me to be doing. And really, these projects can take 6 months to a year to do, these big projects, and it's really a commitment of time and energy and money." So I began to pray and ask God to confirm to me, and I really kind of laid it out for him, and I said, "Now, Lord, you've confirmed supernaturally 3 different times before that you wanted me to do a project, and I'd like for you to confirm supernaturally again, so I can be positive I'm doing the right thing at the right time. And so I put the fleece out, is what you might call it. Well, the confirmation occurred in February the 6th, 1996, at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I was standing in my booth, 10 by 20 booth, there with all of my artwork, the giant 1,200-pound Divine Servant bronze. I had lots of my other pieces. I believe I had the Fisher of Men, 7-foot-tall, 700-pound bronze of Christ. Had even some of my wildlife art there, and just a big display of artwork. And people were stopping and weeping and crying and just really being impacted by my work, as they are in a lot of shows that we go to, because the Holy Spirit tends to use it. And I'm standing there praying, and I started asking God about this commission, because I have to give this guy a decision, because I told him I didn't commit to doing this project of the globe with the Word of God. I told him I had to pray about it, and I was serious about that. So I'm meditating and praying about, God, do you want me to do this Bible on with the Word of God and the globe? And suddenly this stranger walks up, straight up to me, looks me straight in the eye, and he says, if you had a bronze of a globe with a Bible, I'd buy that. That's the truth. And my mouth fell open, and I stuttered something out like, well, I've been praying about that exact composition, as a matter of fact. And he handed his card to me, and he says, well, if you ever do that, let me know. And he walked off. And he was only there maybe 60 seconds at the most. And he didn't look at any of my other artwork. He didn't say anything nice about anything else there. He just walked up, delivered this message, and left. And I can remember looking up to God and saying, I'll count that. And so that was the confirmation to me. And you know, and it was really a strange deal, because, I mean, usually when people came into the booth, they stayed for 20 minutes. I mean, and just but he just came in, delivered the message, and left. Anyways, I went ahead and knew that it was the Lord. That was a confirmation, and it's as specific as you can get. And I did create the what's come to be known as the Great Commission. And I did a great big large bronze. Then I did the one that you see here, a smaller one, and then some smaller ones that are also available. But the message, of course, speaks to world evangelism. It's the globe, it's the earth, it's the rock, it's the Word of God, and it's all pulls together. And I've already discovered how God is starting to use it now around the world, and it is something that He wanted done. And I was here at the convention, or at the dedication there at the seminary, and they introduced me at the dinner banquet. And this man comes up to me and he says, I'm the man. You know, I'm the man in your catalog with the Great Commission sculpture. And we started renewing the acquaintance. And what had happened is I had lost his card, because I had, when I got it, I had hundreds of cards in my pocket from this other show. And so he did get entered onto our computer, and he did get our catalog with the testimony in my catalog, which he read. But I was not able to find out which person was the one that actually delivered the message. And thankfully, he came up and reintroduced himself to me again. And he did say, which I thought was interesting, if I quote you correctly, Pastor, after he walked up to me at that show and then walked away, he turned to his wife and said, Becky, I don't know why I did that. Is that correct? And but anyways, let me, if I could, close with this one last thing. You know, God's asked me to be here tonight. I was here this morning. I didn't know I was going to be here. I'm here tonight. I was invited. And I was wondering, why do you want me to share this testimony with this group? And I think there's a couple of reasons why. One of which is God wants you to know that your pastor still hears the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he still obeys, even when he doesn't understand what he's doing. I think God also wants you to know that He still does speak clearly and specifically and individually to each one of us, and He can do that. God still answers fleeces when we sincerely put them out and ask Him to just tell us where He wants us to be and what He wants us to do. God still confirms the words He gives and the truth through other people, even strangers, and sometimes it's people you know, and it can even come through your wife. So be aware of that, gentlemen. Hearing God, though, still requires listening and faith. You still have to hear him by faith. You still have to examine that still small voice and ask him if it's him and confirm that. And finally, I learned that God is still, commissioning artists just like he did with Bezalel in the Bible in Exodus 31. And I just would like to say that God will give you a specific direction and guidance for whatever call he has on your life. You just have to ask him and seek it and then be patient and wait for him. And if it's okay, Pastor, can I say a 60-second prayer over this group? Would that be all right? Okay. God's been doing some amazing stuff, and it's not Baptist stuff, but it is biblical. And he's been healing some people and doing some stuff. And if I could just take a minute just to bless this group and ask God to heal whoever might want to heal. Father, thank you for being here.
Glory.
I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit right now would touch the hearts of those tonight that needed to hear what I've shared. And it's your testimony just passed through me and your pastor. God, I just pray, Lord, if you would, while your Spirit is here, is heal whoever needs to be healed physically tonight,
yes.
That your Spirit would just touch the
right
people
now,
in this
God.
Audience, whoever that you want to touch at this very moment, of whatever affliction it is, Lord, I just ask in the mighty name of Jesus it be done, and I thank you, God, in advance for whatever you do before we know what it is. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Father, we thank you for Max. We thank you for his life and the gifts that you've given him. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful revival that's taking place across our nation and around the world that does not have denominational labels on it. You are sweeping men and women into the current, and I thank you that you have done that with this wonderful artist. Now I ask your blessing to be upon his life. And may he be used by you again and again and again. And I thank you now for these divine appointments that you give us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
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 Thank you.
You just heard two messages, which I gave, which shows how God has used me in the past and other people, other believers. Yes, God is unique, and he's creative, and you are unique, and he has made you in his image, and so God will not use you in the exact same way that he used me, but he will use you in a very similar way if you'll simply ask him to. If that's the desire of your heart, I challenge you to ask God to use you as he's used me and as he has used and is still using other men and women of God and even children of God. It's really a decision that you make. Now, to step into that ministry and the miracles of God and the power of God, the starting point is to become a member of the family, of God's family. And the Bible says you have to be born again to come into the family. Some of our denominations don't really use that phrase too much, but what it means is it means that God wants you to receive Jesus, his son, who is also God, and to receive him into your heart. And you, all you have to do is to believe that Jesus is God and that he died for your sins. You confess him as your Savior and your Lord of your life. And then you ask him to forgive you for all the sins that you have committed in the past. And he promises to do that. And if you pray that with your heart and you mean it and are sincere, then a transformation will occur. And you will become a new creation in Christ, is what the Bible calls it. You will be born again. You will be saved. You will be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to pray right now, just in case some of you that are listening to this tape aren't born again or don't know if you are or not. We can clear that up real fast. I'm just going to pray a prayer and of salvation. And if you agree with me, just pray along with me. And this can happen right now because It's God that's there with you at this very moment. And this prayer is to Him. And He knows that even if you're listening to a tape recorder, He knows the sincerity of your heart and the desires of your heart. So if you want to be born again, and you're not already born again, then I urge you to pray this prayer right now, because you don't know how many more days, hours, or even minutes you're going to be alive on this earth. And the Bible says that we have to make this decision with our free will. So He gives us that opportunity all through our lives. But we never know how many opportunities we're going to get before we die. So I'm going to pray, and join me if you'd like to be saved. Father, I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to accept You as my Savior, my Lord and my Savior. I want to take advantage of this opportunity right now to be born again, to come into Your family. God, I believe that You sent Jesus. He died on the cross for me. He was my substitution. He died on my behalf. He paid for my sins. God, I acknowledge that He is God. And God, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I have sinned. And Lord, I just pray that You will now make me into the new creation that You promised that I will become. Lord, I choose right now of my free will to make You Lord of my life and to put You first before anything else. And God, I just pray right now in Jesus Christ's name that when I die that You will take me to heaven as You promise. And Lord, I just pray in this life before I die that You'll use me as Your vessel and You'll just fill me with Your Holy Spirit and that You'll help me live the life You want me to live. And I pray that You'll create a hunger in me for You and the things of God and the Word of God. And I just thank You now, Lord, for saving me and for just pouring out Your Spirit on me at this moment. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank You, Lord. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, there's a good chance you felt something pretty strong. You may even be wiping some tears from your eyes right now. You may have had some other sensations or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. That's possible. You may not have. You don't base your faith on feelings. You base faith on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so, if you meant what you said, God means what He says. And you're born again. And you now have an inheritance as a child of God. And part of that inheritance is something that I referred to in my previous messages as the empowerment or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, many of our denominations, especially the evangelical ones, don't have a doctrine or a theology that accepts the possibility of an empowering experience like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's true. And it's in the Bible. It's in the book. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to see those gifts and how they manifest. You can read all throughout the book of Acts and how people were born again. They were water baptized. And then they prayed this prayer for this empowerment. And after that, they began to speak in tongues or prophesy or work miracles. And that's the inheritance that God wants to give each of His kids. And it's your inheritance now that you're a child of God. And only the enemy wants to keep you away from it because he knows that there's power in that inheritance. And technically, so you can understand, because there's a lot of confusion in the body of Christ, especially with some of the charismatic denominations that seem when they're expressing their doctrine about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they sometimes neglect to point out clearly that when you were born again or saved, you receive the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. All at once, one time, you have now living within you the three persons of the Trinity, of the Godhead. That's true. But it is also true that the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are the supernatural gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 normally do not manifest in a person's life and in a believer's life with any frequency until they pray an additional prayer, or it can be prayed at the time of salvation, but normally it's an additional second prayer at a later time for most Christians of an empowerment which the charismatic denominations call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's also referred to that in the Bible. Now, in the Bible, in the book of Acts, you'll hear somebody say to some believers that are water baptized, they'll say, "Oh, have you received the Holy Spirit?" And technically what they're asking there is, have you received this empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Or have you, in effect, let the Holy Spirit release those supernatural gifts in your life? So when you receive Christ as Savior, you do have the Holy Spirit and everything that is the Holy Spirit. All the power to work all the miracles resides in you. But the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he normally does not use a human being to work miracles and to minister into other people's lives until they ask to be used in that way. And so what I'm talking about really here is just simply a prayer to ask God to use you as the vessel he wants you to be, to live the life he wants you to live, and to give you the power, the supernatural, miracle-working, dynamite power is what the Bible calls it, to live that life. And when you pray that prayer and ask for those gifts, and if at the same time you promise to the Lord that you will try to yield your will to his so he can use you as he chooses, then he'll release those gifts in your life. And it's quite amazing, and you can see the supernatural gifts begin to manifest if you pray this simple prayer. And again, if you don't believe it's real, all you have to do is pray this prayer with me, and you can find out for yourself. And many of the people that have listened to our tapes have received this empowerment, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many have instantly acquired a prayer language, or tongues as the Bible's called it. Others have also moved into the gifts with prophecy and with supernatural healing occurring in their life, and the different gifts that are there listed, all of those begin to manifest in a believer's life after they pray this prayer. Now again, the only one that really doesn't want you to pray this prayer is Satan himself and his demons, because they know once you understand your full inheritance, they have a lot more to worry about from you. Because when you pray this prayer, the Bible says that you have authority over demons, and that's what they're worried about. So that's why they make such a big deal of keeping the gifts of the Holy Spirit out of churches today, and why so many people and denominations have developed a theology or a doctrine against allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest these gifts through the believers. But you can go back and read the Bible and find out for yourself that it is true. It is for today. There's nowhere that says these gifts passed away. You know, that's just a lie from Satan, and he's hoping that you won't grab a hold of the truth. So all I'm asking you to do, if you're sincere about your love for the Lord and would like to be used to the fullest extent by the Lord and to be most effective in your walk with him, then I pray you pray this prayer with me right now. And again, if you agree, pray with me. And if you don't, you can turn the machine off, or you don't have to pray. You know, the one thing I might say as we begin to pray, if you're not ready to pray this, if you're not sure that you really want all that God wants to give you, then your heart's not right, and you shouldn't pray. At the same time, if you only want some of God's gifts and not all of them, then you're probably not ready to pray, because God chooses what gifts he wants to give his kids. We don't get to choose that. All we get to ask is God to give us what he wants to give us. So, if you're going to limit God and tell him what you don't want to have, then your heart's not ready, and I wouldn't recommend praying this prayer right now. First thing you need to do, the requirements, of course, to this is simply to be a child of God, to be born again, which now you are if you pray that prayer. Second, it's a good idea to renounce any ties to the occult that you may have involvement in, any organizations, any witchcraft, New Age, Freemasonry, any of those things, and just ask God to forgive you for being involved in that, in Jesus' name. and he will forgive you. Other than that, it'd be a good idea if you've got a major sin going on in your life right now to confess that to the Lord and ask him to forgive you, and he will do that. You might just take a second and even turn the machine off if you'd like to at this moment and just ask God to forgive you of anything that you've done that's not right and would not be pleasing to him. Now that that's done, let's pray that prayer. And you can judge for yourself if this is real. Now just take a deep breath and kind of breathe in here as we pray, because God did a lot of things with his breath as he breathed on his kids. And I'm just going to pray now and just drink in the Spirit of God that's around you at this very moment. Lord God, I thank you for this person listening to this tape. I pray that you bless them. Lord, I thank you that they've chosen to receive you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, they want your inheritance that you have available for them right now, that's theirs, and their name is on it, and you prepared it for them. And so I pray in Jesus' name that you release into this person's life at this moment all those gifts right now that you want for them, those supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit that you have listed there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Lord, I pray each of those gifts will manifest at the right time, at the right way, and it would all be to your glory, Lord. And so I just pray in Jesus' name that you baptize them with power and with fire, and that you just pour your Spirit over them, Lord. And God, I pray that they would yield their spirit to you, and that they will allow you to direct their lives and how they use the gifts. Now, I'm going to pray in your words right now, and if, again, you agree with me, I want you to pray along with me. Lord, I do want these gifts of the Holy Spirit, like Max Greiner just mentioned. God, I yield my will to you. I choose to yield to you. Lord, help me do that. Lord, I want to be used as your vessel, and I want to be empowered with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord. So I pray that every good and perfect gift that you want for me would manifest in my life at the right time and the right way, Lord. And I pray it would all be to the glory of Jesus Christ, and people would see Jesus in me. Baptize me, Lord, now. Jesus, baptize me with your power and the fire of the Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, you're probably feeling something right now. Just take a deep breath right now and breathe in as the Holy Spirit's anointing you. Just take a deep breath and soak in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, let them fill your presence right now in Jesus Christ's name. Would you please do that for them, whoever's listening to this tape that wants to be closer to you and to be your servant. Just let them feel the anointing of your Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, those nine different gifts, they can manifest at any time. But the Bible says that the gifts are submitted to the prophet, and what that means is you have control over those gifts. So what will happen with those nine different gifts is God will give you the unction of the urge, or speak a word of knowledge, and tell you, for example, to pray for someone that's sick. Now, he won't force you to go over and pray for someone that's sick, but if you hear that still small voice and you obey him and you go over and ask them if you can pray for them and you pray, then that's how the gift manifests and the miracle will happen and can happen right then. So it takes, you know, God does the supernatural thing, we do the natural. So you have to choose to want to obey his word when he gives you the moment and the time, and then he will manifest the gift. So basically, you bring nothing to the person to share. You just pray, and then God brings the gift. And that gift is under his control. You only have the control to whether you pray or not pray. He decides when, how, and where that gift manifests. And that's basically true with the different gifts that are listed there. Now, they're communication gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You can study in the Bible and other literature that explains more detail about the different gifts. Prophecy, discerning of spirits, both angelic and demonic, miracles, faith, you're entering a new adventure in your life, and that's going to be part of the fun is learning about these gifts and how God's going to use them. And he can use virtually all of those gifts. I don't know anybody that has all nine gifts that have manifested in their life, but we have had most of them in our life manifest over the years. And so you can expect more than one gift to manifest. And one of the very first gifts that manifests for most believers is the prayer language. And that's called tongues in the Bible. And there's three types of tongues mentioned in the Bible. There's the personal, private, devotional language, the gift of, and then there's the gift of tongues of public utterance in a church where someone will have a message or a prophecy from God, and they will give it in a tongue. The church prays in order, and then someone else or they themselves give that interpretation. That is a different type of tongues. Then there is the foreign language tongues, which the Bible refers to. And if you talk to many missionaries of any denomination that go around the world, you'll hear dramatic stories of how God gave them a foreign language they didn't know in a crisis moment when they had to do something. So that's the basic three types. But what I want to pray for you right now is your own private prayer language. And that's to be used. It was what Paul said. He speaks in tongues more than anybody, and he wished that you all spoke in tongues. The reason is God gives us the language, and when we don't know how to pray, he prays for us through the Holy Spirit. And so all we have to do is when we run out of English and we don't know how to pray or what to pray for somebody or a situation, then we just basically think or ask God to pray for us, and then he gives us this language. And what we have to do, the natural part, is to give God our voice, and he will not force our voice out of us, any sound out of us. We have to choose to give him that. So what we can do, and you can find out right now if that gift's going to manifest, and it can manifest, you know, right now as we pray, is simply, as I pray for you, give God some sound. He won't force it from you. You have to choose to want to give it to him, and it can be an ah sound or whatever, but just some sound. And as you give him that in faith, as you take that step of faith, like Peter walking on the water, you get out of the boat, you take that step, then he will give you the utterance of the words. And it will at first seem strange syllables of foreign words. It'll sound like baby talk in the Old Testament. That's why it talked about they will speak with stammering lips. At first, when you start using your prayer language, most of us, it's so awkward and unusual that we kind of stutter and stammer. But what I would ask you to do is for this moment, give God the benefit of the doubt that he wants to give you that right now, because it's very, very common for everybody that prays for this prayer of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's usually the threshold gift, the first gift that often manifests for the other more dramatic gifts of healing and prophecy and some of the others. So just take a deep breath now, and I'm going to pray and see if God wants to manifest your prayer language at this moment. So just take a deep breath and breathe in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come right now on this person, this believer that's praying with me right now in Jesus' name. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you'll manifest their language, that you'll give them the first words, the first syllables of their own private prayer language that they have to pray to you, words that you give them. So Holy Spirit, I ask in Jesus' name that right now that the words just start rising up in their chest and their body, and as they breathe in and breathe in your presence that's around them right now, that you will begin to flood their mind with these syllables. In Jesus' name, I pray it be done. Now speak the words. Don't use English. Speak the syllables that you see in your mind. Trust God. He will. When you're asking for bread, he won't give you a snake. He only gives good gifts, and this is a good gift. Give him some sound. Now, if your prayer language is manifesting now, I'd suggest you might want to turn off this tape for a little while and pray to the Lord in this new language that he's given you. And it'll be a way to praise him. It'll be a way to tell him you love him in words that you can't express. It'll be a way to pray against the enemy. And when you feel him coming against your family or you, it's really just a more powerful way to pray, and God intended that for his kids if we wanted to pray that way. So just use your language now. You might want to just turn off the machine and pray. Now if your language has not yet manifested, don't worry about it. Just ask God to, whenever you pray, ask God if he would manifest your prayer language. And so after you prayed in English, then say, Lord, here I am again, and if you'd like me to have this, I'd like to have it, and here's my voice, and I'd really like to have this special language from you. And so then at the end of your prayer in your native language, then give him some sound and expect to hear from the Holy Spirit. And as those words come into your mind, those syllables, say them in faith. Now, I might also point out that the enemy, Satan, the demons, will try to tell you as soon as those syllables come into your mind that you're making that up. Yes, the demons can talk into your mind, and they can put thoughts in your mind. They can do that to Christians. They did it to Peter. They've done it to Paul. They've done it to all the Christians since then. The enemy is able to speak into our minds and speak thoughts. So one of the things he will try to do is make you think that you're making this up. He's a liar. Don't believe him. You're talking to God in the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, and what you're getting in a prayer from God is God. The enemy is just hoping that you will not believe God about this, because he doesn't want you to have this language, because he can't understand this language, and he's very fearful of this language. Just don't believe the enemy. Trust the Lord, and at the right time, in the right way, the right moment, God will bless you with this prayer language. And also, the other gifts of the Holy Spirit will follow. And so when you get the that still small voice, maybe a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, maybe a prophecy, you know, examine what you're hearing and learn more about it. Read the New Testament. I strongly suggest that you read the New Testament. And it'd be a good idea to start with the book of Acts, because that kind of explains about how the first New Testament church began and how this empowerment of the Holy Spirit began to spread Christianity across the world. And it was really because of this power that showed up in the believers, that there was a demonstration that their God was the real God. And it wasn't just eloquence of words, as Paul says. It was a demonstration of the power. And with all the gods that were worshipped back then, you know, Paul wanted the people to know that his God was the real God, and all the other gods were counterfeit gods and demons posing to be gods. So, in any event, this is for you. These gifts are for you. Read the New Testament. Pray before you do. And just seek God, and he will take you in an adventure for the rest of your life that when you look back on it, you will have a hard time comprehending. And it was in July, I think, of the 5th of 1989 when Sherry and I prayed this prayer with a man named Bill Banks from a Presbyterian background, I believe, back in 1989 in Atlanta. We prayed this prayer with him. He was a stranger at the time, and immediately our spirits changed, and then ultimately, over the next 12 hours to 48 hours, the gifts started manifesting, and dramatically, and it hasn't stopped to this day. And so I just right now want to speak a blessing on you, and let me just pray one more prayer here before we end this this tape. Lord, I pray that you bless the person that's hearing this tape, Lord. I thank you for saving them if they've prayed for salvation. I thank you for baptizing them in your Holy Spirit if they've prayed for that baptism. And I pray now, Lord, that you anoint them for your use to bless other people. And I pray people will see Jesus in them. And, Lord, they're not going to rely on their talents or their wisdom or their intellect or any of their natural gifts. They're going to use those to your glory, but Lord, they're going to rely on you, and they're going to trust you to supernaturally lead them and guide them in this life. So I just speak a blessing on them and their household, Lord. And I just thank you for this moment that you've given with us, and just use this tape, Lord, to bless the people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.